Now, before we get to your calls, let's talk about some news you can use. First of all, some fascinating research that is challenging current beliefs on the use of testosterone for prostate cancer prevention. From an article titled Association of Prostate Cancer and Those Receiving Testosterone Therapy in the U.S., data just last month, it shows a remarkable 33% reduction in prostate cancer incidence in those men using the highest amounts of testosterone therapy compared to the lowest amounts used, both in injectable and gel forms of testosterone. This was a really large study, 189,000 men with multiple insurance databases used. Results were pretty shocking to the authors, as it goes completely against current conventional thinking that testosterone therapy is a possible cause of prostate cancer. I can't tell you how many men I've treated with bioidentical testosterone therapy who were told by their primary care docs or even their endocrinologists to immediately stop using testosterone as it might cause prostate cancer for them. Now we're finally getting some truthful research based on large databases. Of course, as always, the researcher concludes that more studies need to be done before inferring any benefit from testosterone. But still, this is pretty exciting news. Next, we have research from the Journal of the AMA Pediatrics in August 2019. A Canadian study confirmed the danger of giving fluoride to pregnant women, as it significantly reduces the IQ scores in their unborn children exposed. They checked 512 pregnant women. They tested them three times during each trimester of their pregnancy, and both urine fluoride and food sources of fluoride were measured. The fetuses exposed had their IQ tested at age 3 to 4 years, and the results were pretty alarming. For every 1 milligram per liter of fluoride found in the urine, there was an average drop of 4.5 IQ points. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with IQ scoring, but a score of 100 is considered average. Over 140 is considered genius, and 120 to 139 is pretty darn smart. There's different categories for below average scores also, signifying varying degrees of mental disability. In the study, boys appeared to be more vulnerable than girls for some unknown reason. The results show the potential neurotoxicity associated with exposure to fluoride, which puts into question community water fluoridation and specifically fluoridation directly received through your dentist, especially during pregnancy. My thinking is whether you're a fetus or a grown adult, it would be important to avoid something known to drop your IQ. Not to mention excessive fluoride can also cause iodine deficiency and affect thyroid function. Could fluoride be an underlying cause of the epidemic of dementia and Alzheimer's we're seeing these days? Hard to say, but keep listening to Green Medicine for updates. Thirdly, research on vitamin D in the prevention of cancer and other health problems is growing dramatically. Remember a few years back, vitamin D was the rage even in the conventional medical community. A lot of conventional docs were testing all their patients. And then suddenly there were vitamin D scares about overdosing. At Tahoma Clinic, we've always recommended blood levels reaching somewhere between 60 to 100 based on long-term consistent research. And we also follow the guidelines from the Vitamin D Council. And they are the leading experts on vitamin D use and supplementation. If you're interested in more information about that, you can go to vitamindcouncil.org. We typically recommend daily intake of 5,000 to 7,500 units daily, depending on the season, with higher doses typically needed in the winter months. Now comes an article published from the Orthomolecular Medicine News Service dated July 2019. This was authored by William B. Grant, who I want to give credit to. It's called The Effect of Vitamin D on Cancer Incidence and Survival. And the results of this phase two randomized control trial of high versus low dose vitamin D supplementation was for 139 patients with advanced colorectal cancer taking chemotherapy, and was recently reported in the JAMA magazine. The high-dose vitamin D treatment was 8,000 units of vitamin D for 2 weeks and then dropped to 4,000 units thereafter. The low-dose treatment group received only 400 units vitamin D, which is common in multivitamin mineral. The length of time before the disease worsened was 13 months in the high-dose treatment group and 11 months in the low-dose group. Now, I know 2 months doesn't sound like much, but listen to this. The high-dose vitamin D supplementation significantly reduced the risk of death by 36%. In secondary analyses, the length of time before the disease worsened was significantly longer for patients in the treatment group who maintained a healthy weight or had more metastatic sites. So very interesting reporting. There is also strong evidence that higher 25-hydroxy vitamin D concentrations reduce the risk of all types of cancer, including breast cancer. Thus, those interested in reducing risk of cancer should be well advised to take several thousand units of vitamin D to achieve 25-hydroxy-D concentrations at a minimum above 40. And like I say, at Tahoma Clinic, we recommend somewhere between 60 and 100. Those diagnosed with cancer may want to include high-dose vitamin D supplementation in addition to the standard conventional treatment to increase survival. And lastly, did you realize that a lack of vitamin B12 can be a major contributor to cardiovascular disease? In a study from McMaster University, a carotid plaque was used as a strong predictor of cardiovascular events. And we know high serum homocysteine levels are associated with plaque formation throughout the body. And we also know vitamin B12 deficiency has become a major determinant in higher homocysteine blood levels. So in this study, 421 consecutive new patients were checked in a vascular disease prevention clinic. Average age was 66, ranging from age 37 to 90. They measured their carotid plaque, serum B12, homocysteine, and something called methylmalonic acid, which, by the way, is a much better way of measuring your B12 status. The results showed the carotid plaque volume that was checked by ultrasound was significantly higher in those showing low vitamin B12 status and high homocysteine levels that were greater than 14. Here at Tahoma Clinic, we recommend keeping your homocysteine under 11 and optimally around 8. Remember, B12 is like the hardest vitamin to absorb adequately, and a lack of B12 status could also mean you're lacking enough stomach acid to maximize absorption. So consider getting your stomach acid checked if you find it difficult in lowering your homocysteine levels.